Tonight it's being recorded and televised, so they've asked for about a minute to get everything set up, and they'll give us the high sign, and then we'll go ahead and get started. So if you'll find a seat, we'll wait for the signal. Okay, ready to begin? All right, thank you again. Thank you very much for coming out tonight. Appreciate you taking your time to help us make coming out tonight. In order to address the issues that were identified by the Coastal Commission, the city and the district sent out proposals and received proposals from various firms, and the firm of Dudek Engineering was chosen to do the additional studies that are required by the Coastal Commission. April Winicky is the project manager for Dudek, and she specializes in coastal planning, and in fact was previously on staff with the Coastal Commission. So she brings with her and with her group very specific expertise in this area. And so April's ready to take over at this point and provide us with some information about the workshop.
Thank you, Dennis. As Dennis mentioned, my name is April Winicky, and I'm with the engineering and environmental consulting firm Dudek. We've got a couple other Dudek crew members here tonight. We've got Allison Evans. She's back at Station 1, Table 1 in the corner back here. Paul Amberg is hiding out. I don't see him right now. I think he's at the sign-in table, and we have Tom Falk. He's an engineer with Dudek, and he's back here at what we're calling Station 4. I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. We're going to do a brief PowerPoint presentation and walk through the workshop agenda with you and spend a little bit of time talking about the Coastal Commission appeals process, the forum, the format for this workshop. So I'll go ahead and get started. We had a welcome from Dennis. We're going to talk a little bit about the overall Coastal Commission's appeal process tonight and the alternatives analysis work plan that we've developed for this project to meet the requirements of the Coastal Commission. We're going to talk about the format of the workshop. I'm going to spend a little bit of time on that so you guys know what to expect and how we're going to run things. That's going to be followed by what we're calling a summary forum wrap-up. And so once we have our open forum, which will give everybody an opportunity to go to each information table, take a look at the information that we've compiled for this workshop, provide input, comments, ask questions about that, we're going to do a summary wrap-up where one individual for each table is going to come up and kind of give a brief summary of what they heard. Now, that summary will be in addition to all written comments that we'll be receiving throughout the workshop. And then we're going to open it up for public comments. And we've only got about 30 minutes for that. So depending on how many people want to speak, we'll go ahead and assign a certain time limit for each one of those comments. And then we'll get some closing remarks from Dennis. A couple workshop logistics. I just want to let everybody know that we do have an agenda available at the sign-in table. We've got a workshop handout, which summarizes the information that's available at each one of our stations, that you're welcome to take that home. You might not be ready to submit written comments tonight, so please take that home. That'll be a reminder of the information that was presented tonight. There's a sign-in sheet. If you guys could please make sure to sign in, we'd really appreciate that. And we've got comment forms available at the sign-in table and each one of our tables here. So we're really encouraging you to submit written comments tonight on the information that we've presented here. To the extent you can use one comment form, we'd appreciate that. We want to try to minimize the amount of paper that's being generated for these things. And of course, you can submit written comments, comments on the website that's available. So really quickly, I'm going to talk about the Coastal Commission appeals process. A lot of you are probably familiar with that. Past actions, we're going to start there. So we know that in December 2008, the Regional Water Quality Control Board and the MBCSD entered into a settlement agreement to upgrade the plant to full secondary treatment. In January 2011, the final EIR and the Coastal Development Permit for that project was approved by the City Council on appeal. And then the Coastal Commission held the mandatory 10-day appeal period from January 18th to the 31st, and there were several appeals filed during that time. The substantial issue hearing before the Coastal Commission was held on March 11th, 2011, and at that hearing, the Coastal Commission did find that the various appeals that were received raised a substantial issue with respect to the project's consistency with the City of Morro Bay's certified LCP. Now, that action didn't reject the project. It didn't modify the project. What it did is said that the appeals that were filed raised substantial issue. And within that staff report, the Coastal Commission took an action to direct the city essentially to conduct a robust alternatives analysis and in addition to technical studies that were required before the Coastal Commission can even consider the project on de novo review. So, follow the de novo review process with the Coastal Commission, compiling the information that's generated during the Phase 1 and Phase 2 scope of work, conducting a detailed Coastal Act and LCP consistency analysis, and preparing the submittal package to the Coastal Commission for their consideration. Right now, we're targeting to get that information submitted to Coastal Commission so that we could bring the item back to the first available local hearing in 2012, which is going to be about March or April of 2012. This is the alternative sites analysis work plan, and rather than spend too much time talking to a slide that I know you guys can't see very well, we do have it available on a poster board over here. The work plan identifies the three phases of work, the rough screening, the fine screening, and the de novo review. It identifies the critical steps in coordinating with the Coastal Commission so we can receive their comments, questions, feedback on the information that's being generated during the work plan. It also identifies the public workshops that are going to be held throughout the process, in addition to JPA meetings. So if you have any questions about the work plan, want to come check it out, please see us over at Station 2 and be happy to walk you through it and answer any questions. So the format for this workshop, I think probably the most critical component, is what we're calling an open forum. We're going to have 45 minutes for you guys to wander around the room, take a look at information at each one of our stations, provide comments, suggestions. That's the most critical component of this workshop. We really need to hear from you regarding the alternative sites that have already been identified, either through the final EIR or the appeals process, and any additional alternative sites that you think are out there and feasible. If we don't get that information, we won't know to look at them for the rough screening analysis. So that's really important. In addition, we want to make sure that we're getting your comments on the screening criteria that we're using during the alternatives analysis. Each one of the stations is set up so that we have groups of screening criteria that we've already identified. We want to know if those are reasonable in your opinion. If we've missed some, that's the type of information that we're really looking forward to. I will also be over here at Station 2 to talk about the Coastal Commission appeals process if there's any questions about that. So again, I'm going to go ahead and walk through the stations so that you have a general sense of the information that's available at each one of those. At Station 1, back here in the corner, we've got the preliminary alternative sites that have been identified to date and a large poster board with those sites that are shown on that poster board, and an opportunity for you to take a look at that with our staff and let us know whether or not you think there are any additional sites that we need to look at. In addition, we have our screening criteria groupings listed up on those poster boards. And so if we missed a group of screening criteria, we want to hear from you regarding that or whether or not you think we're looking at the right things there. Over here at Station 2, as I mentioned, we've got the work plan. Anything regarding the work plan or the Coastal Commission appeals process, we can talk about there. In addition, we've outlined a number of items under environmental constraints and local coastal program policies. So these are the constraints and policies that we think are going to apply to one or more of the alternative sites that have been identified to date. Over here at Station 3, we're going to be talking about logistics and site constraints, land use, zoning, site availability, ownership, logistics, things like that. So if you've got any questions, comments regarding that, we'll be able to take a look at those over here at Station 3. And then back here at Station 4, that's our water reclamation feasibility station. So really that's kind of the engineering component of things. So far we've identified screening criteria with respect to recycled water opportunities and economic factors. I'd like to know what additional comments or suggestions you might have in that regard. And we've started receiving public comments via the website. Thank you for those. We'll be looking forward to taking a look at those. Got a lot of those in today. One of the first comments we received was a list of questions regarding the format of the workshop, so we thought it would be good to just walk through those questions with you now. So generally speaking, how much time is going to be allocated to public comments? Well, you can submit your written comments at any time during the workshop. We've got 45 minutes for you to visit stations, provide us with your comments, submit your written comments there if you'd like, or take a comment form home with you and submit them at a later date. We'll be accepting written comments through July 1st, 2011, and then we'll also have the 30 minutes available at the tail end of the open forum to take additional public comments verbally. There was a question about whether or not there were more commenters than the comment period allowed and whether or not people can attend tomorrow's workshop. Absolutely. The same type of information is going to be presented, same exact form. I want to wrap it up by saying we're going to go ahead and break out now into our open forum. Please don't be frustrated with us if we can't answer specific project-related questions. We haven't done the analysis yet. This is the first step in that, and so we want to make sure that that first step in conducting that analysis is really considering all the comments, concerns, and questions that you all have. There's a lot of information available on the website. We'll be posting all the information from the workshop here today on the website as well, so if you've missed anything, that'll be available to you. And again, I just want to reiterate, we've got those written comment forms available, pens at each station. To the extent you can use one form, we'd appreciate that. And that ends the initial presentation.
That would be options on both site and technology, but there's no place to talk about technology.
Engineering. I'm sorry?
No, I think April.
You make the decision. I suggest we adjust our operations. No sense spending any more time.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Well, I can tell you that all of us are thrilled at the excellent turnout tonight. It far exceeded our expectations. So, again, many thanks to all of you for coming out. The good news is you're all here. The bad news is we ran out of some of the materials that we'd prepared for you, but we have extra copies printed. If you did not get an agenda or any of the other handout materials, they're on the table as you came in. You can grab one at your convenience. Well, we got a lot of good input from everyone, and now at this stage of the program, what we'd like to do is have each of the tables have their representative come forward and give you some feedback on the information that we received. Then after that, then you'll have your turn to come up right up here to the microphone where I am and provide some input of your own. So we're going to get started first with table number one. And I think, do we need to give you another minute? Okay. Okay, Allison Evans is coming forward to give feedback for table one.
Hi, thank you so much. We really appreciate you guys being here and providing comments, and we feel like we got some really good feedback and input, and this is definitely going to help us with our work product moving forward, and that's what we intend this to be. So I just wanted to quickly reiterate a couple of the comments we heard, some of the sites we heard, and I'm short. A couple of the comments we heard and some of the additional sites that we'll be looking at. And also to reiterate, where did these sites come from? Why do we even have anything identified at this point? As part of the environmental process and also as part of the Coastal Commission appeals, there were letters submitted, and in those letters, sites had been identified. And so we teased that information out. We put it on a map, and today we are hoping you could let us know if those were the correct sites, if they're in the correct location, and what additional sites are we supposed to be looking at. Also, I just wanted to remind everyone, because I know there are small comment forms and not everybody likes to submit paper or mail, there is a website where these comments can be submitted electronically. It's at the very bottom of the agenda, and I've also been told if you just go to the city's website and look for the wastewater treatment plant upgrade subfolder page, there's a link to it on that page too. So please submit your comments however you feel most comfortable. A couple of the sites that people were discussing with us, and is somewhat interesting, they're looking at means of getting it outside of the floodplain and or outside of the coastal zone. So we had a couple sites that, and then the Men's Colony plant. So these are all additional sites we'll be adding as part of our first rough screening draft. And all the additional candidate criteria we kind of discussed very, very cursory, what were the groupings, what are some of the subject areas that we'll be looking at, and then hopefully you got more detailed information from these additional tables to help understand all the different components that will be taken in as part of this first draft. So thank you. And now with that, station two.
Thanks, Allison. Okay, so we were over here in Manning Station 2 focusing on environmental constraints and LCP policies as well as the overall work plan for the Coastal Commission process. Some of the comments that we heard, additional things that we need to be looking at as far as rough screening criteria, the prohibition of floodplain development as articulated in the LCP. Sea level rise, obviously a big concern with the Coastal Commission as it relates to any additional technical studies relative to sea wave uprush, shoreline erosion, shoreline hazards, as well as tsunami. Alternative technology was something else that was identified. Agricultural lands, we had a lot of comments regarding agricultural lands, whether or not there was a prohibition of development on agricultural lands, and specifically if the perfect site was identified that was agriculture, whether or not we should consider an LCP amendment to allow development on those lands if it's prohibited under the existing LCP. Groundwater recharge was something else that we heard, and how that relates to sustaining riparian habitats, and how that relates to erosion and downstream sedimentation and the need for dredging of the bay. Let's see, what else did we have? Highest and best use was another category that we are asked to take a look at, whether or not the issue of the outfall should be its own specific screening criteria, and maybe that's relative to water quality or coastal-dependent development, something like that. And then not necessarily related specifically to environmental constraints and LCP policies, but I want to try to capture everything that we heard as much as possible. There is a lot of concern that there's a co-equal analysis of sites, and we will be doing that at the fine screening analysis. There were some questions regarding process and whether or not there would be additional public workshops. We did identify that there's going to be an additional public workshop during the fine screening analysis to receive public input on that process before we actually initiate it. There was a comment that an individual wanted to see an additional public workshop held after that. And that about sums it up for station number two.
First of all, we'd like to thank everybody that came to our table. We didn't know how many people we'd get because it's all about logistics and site constraints. And what we heard today was basically a lot about the zoning. Is that a fatal flaw? Is ownership a fatal flaw as far as, you know, if somebody owns the property you're looking at? All that obviously will be looked at in our analysis. There was concern about the cost ultimately of the project as far as there are people that believe even though you give them a cost estimate, you're always going to overrun that cost estimate. So that is a concern. The costs themselves, to make sure we're talking about apples to apples, as far as, you know, insurance for the facility, if it's in the flood zone, is there flood insurance? So that that's compared equally with the other sites, all the different costs go into making up the project. There was discussion of the acreage, which basically what we said basically is we're looking at 4 to 5 acres of flat land so that we don't have to grade as much. And so if we have nice 4 to 5 acres of flat land, and that led into that the current site would be, would it be inside the flood zone or would a future site be inside the 100-year flood zone? And we talked, you know, need to look at that issue as well. And as far as there was an issue about tsunamis and, you know, generally overall location versus floods and tsunamis. A new treatment technology, they talked about that as far as addressing new treatment technology, whether or not the plant would serve the future, no matter where it's located, make sure it addresses the future needs of the community and that it covers all that into the future. And then there was a discussion of whether or not there would be one or two plants that was brought up. You know, would there be one, you know, Cayucas plant versus and another plant? Could it be divided into two locations and two sites? And then there's a lot of discussion on the proximity of the locations to existing facilities and how that would work as to whether or not there'd be, you know, new infrastructure that would be needed. And of course, if it's not an existing site, there would be some kind of new infrastructure that would be needed. So basically, it ran through the
material there. So you could dive into it to your heart's delight. You could read as much technical information as you wanted to. It's all available. It's all there. Or you could just kind of browse and peruse that and get some background. We had a lot of questions tonight about people asking, you know, what is the project? What is the background? So we talked quite a bit about that. In terms of the specifics of wastewater reclamation, we had kind of two themes that I would split that into. One of them is specific uses. And so some of the specific uses that we heard that we should consider are using it for fire flow, using it as stream flow augmentation, using it for agricultural uses, and then also for groundwater recharge. The other topic that kind of came up, I think everybody agrees that in the future we'll see reclamation kind of grow as water supplies become more scarce. I think everybody was in agreement that over time reclamation will become more and more important. But one of the considerations that people wanted us and talked a little bit about was maximizing our reuse, and then some people have recommended maximizing it such that you would have a zero ocean discharge. So some people were concerned about eliminating the discharge from the wastewater treatment plant. So in summary, that was really what we kind of heard and got comments on tonight were some specific reuses that we could consider, and then the concept of maximizing that reuse and eliminating the need for the outfall and the discharge to the ocean.
Done with this? Oh.
Dylan, thank you for pointing out how to get to that on the website to our wastewater treatment plant project. Even easier than that, if you go to our homepage, left-hand side, there's a direct link to the wastewater treatment plant project, so you don't have to navigate yourself through the departments. Also, if you would like to, You can sign up with Notify Me so that any further actions that take place on the wastewater treatment plant project, you'll get an email automatically sent to you. Also, there's many other categories. I'll put a plug in for the city in general, from our Parks and Recreations Commission to our Planning Commission to the Harbor Advisory Board. You can sign up for all those Notify Me links so that you can be first to hear about city news. Thank you.
Okay, now we come to a very interesting part of the program. We'd like to hear directly from you. We promised that we would wind up the program at 8 o'clock, and so we've got a little less than 45 minutes. If you have filled out your form, you don't have to speak. However, you're welcome to if you'd like to. So just to give us an idea of how much time we should allow for each person to speak, can you raise your hand if you're planning on speaking? Okay, well, it looks like we can easily allow 3 minutes per person. Bruce is going to be the timekeeper, and he'll wave his hand or do something to get your attention when you get close to that time. What we'd like to do is have you come right up here so you can face the audience. This isn't like a public meeting where you have to face the elected officials, because what we want you to do is come up, and we want to hear everything that you have to say and all of your comments and suggestions, and so would everyone else. So it might be a good idea if you would start forming a line, and someone is finished, just come right up, and please state your name so we know who you are, and then tell us what your thoughts are. Welcome.
That's great. Good evening. I'm Glenn Silloway. I've been a resident here going on 8 years now in Morro Bay, and I appreciate the time that you all have taken to put this material together for us here. And what's happened to me tonight is, and especially hearing the comment about 3,000 pages on the website, I don't have time to go through that by Friday. There is missing material here. I'm looking at the initial site analysis over here, and underneath every one of those issues, there's stuff I'd like to know a little bit more about. And we need more time. I don't think there's any reason why this process has to get cut off at 5 o'clock on Friday when it's starting on Monday. Please, there should be at least another couple weeks. And I know we're going to offer our house for a meeting to talk about what these issues are. And it makes sense to me to do that. Look, we're looking at a generational project here. This is something that's going to last 30.
Susan Mullen, Morro Bay resident. I was hoping to see the City Council here tonight and the Cayuga Sanitary District, and my remarks are really to them, but the consultants are welcome to listen. Now is the time to think outside the box of 1950s technology and move to 2011. Our new wastewater treatment plant needs to move inland into the Morro Valley and abandon the outfall. It's time to stop dumping in the ocean. We can build a transfer station at the site of the existing plant and sell the remaining property to help finance the purchase of land in the Morro Valley. The water needs tertiary and full tertiary treatment and then injection into the Morro Basin to help clean up the nitrates and turn back the saltwater intrusion. This could also help the Morro wells in times of drought and or the state water shutdowns. This has been done in Orange County since 1990. The plant needs to be built to sustainably operate so that the gases produced in the treatment of the waste will power the plant and thus reduce operating costs. We know this is being done in Santa Paula. We need to be working with designers and engineers who are experienced in current day technologies, available to come up with affordable designs that will serve our communities for many years to come at an affordable operating cost. We need to seek out grants and low interest loans to reduce the capital costs for a state-of-the-art plant. It's time to release old ways of thinking. It's time to stop using consultants to lobby for these old ways and release engineering firms who will do the same. Morro Bay and Cayucas need to lead the way and not follow like sheep led to the slaughter. We cannot afford to do anything less than the above. Thank you.
Good evening. I'm short, too. My name's Jane Heath. I'm a resident of Morro Bay since 1998. I really appreciate the opportunity to address all of you this evening. I think it's fair to say this project is the most expensive public improvement project that any of us will ever contemplate in our lifetime. That's a lot to say for most of us. It'll take a lifetime to pay for it. That's why it's so critical that we get it right. I want to say clearly and emphatically, we are not Los Osos. I've heard absolutely no one suggest that we don't need a sewer or that we shouldn't do everything possible to do what's necessary. And any resistance that there is to the upgrade that's being proposed is not intended to obstruct sewer work, but to support the adoption of a 21st century plan for 21st century people who will use this public resource until at least the middle of this century. We have a golden opportunity to reconsider the decisions made in the 1950s when people did not understand or appreciate the unique attributes of coastal land, and the sand dunes that most of us love were referred to as wasteland or given away as a premium for buying property with real value. I think it's fair to say if this was a project for a brand new municipality, the current site would not even be considered. It may be that after fair and thorough analysis, the present site is found to be the best option. But we need to remain open-minded on the issue and direct staff and consultants to consider at least these things. Let's not limit our inquiry to a predetermined small number of sites. Let's look at all sites co-equally, not give extra points to either where it is now or whether it would require land acquisition. Let's not get hung up on who owns alternative property, its land use currently, or the likelihood of acquiring it. The city and the GAPA have options that include sale and trade and concessions that can make a deal happen if a site is desirable. Let's work with the Coastal Commission. The Commission doesn't want to stop the plant upgrade. They just want our representatives to have considered reasonable alternatives and listen to their citizens about what we want. Let's not limit the search for alternative sites to the city limits. This is a JPA. Sites on county land can work. As my mother would say, let's not be penny wise and pound foolish. If doing the right thing means we pay a dollar or two more a month, but we have on-site solids composting and treat the liquids so we can use that water for agriculture and to water our parks, I'll gladly give you the extra $2. In contrast, though, I'll begrudge every nickel that builds a facility that might not even meet our needs until my neighbor's little ones get to high school. Let's also not give up our biosolids composting, add several feet of fill, and end up with a costly plant no better in many ways from what we have. No matter
to the Director of Public Services and found out that we really don't even know where the boundaries of the 100-year flood are. And until we really know that, there's some sites that we can't really evaluate. So I would encourage you to...
directly into the microphone.
Okay. I encourage you to resolve that issue just as soon as possible. I hate to see you come up with a plan and then somebody says, whoops, we moved the 100-year floodplain on you. So I would like you to do that, please. I would like you to strongly consider stream flow augmentation. I know Mr. Wade mentioned this, but it was not mentioned specifically. Stream flow augmentation is a great process. One of the endangered species along the Central Coast is the southern steelhead, and it tries to get up Morro Creek and Churro Creek, and it can't make it, and it would like a little bit more water in there. So I think that's an issue that should strongly be considered in this. I heard one of the gentlemen talk about site area. Well, we got to have 5 acres or something like that. I remember when PERC proposed a plant, And it was, everybody think it, thought it was a nice-looking plant. They put it on 2 acres. So I would like you to not rule out all the other things. There's other processes that you can put on less than 5 acres. So I'd like you to not take that as a constraint. And then the issue of biosolids. Biosolids is a constraint at the existing or the site that was proposed is a favorite one. On other sites, biosolids is not a constraint. I would be happier if we as a community and as a district dealt with all of our issues within ourselves, that we could handle the biosolids ourselves and we didn't send them to Kern County. Because one of these days, Kern County was like, nah. And so we're stuck on that. So anyway, I'd just like to reiterate those things and once again thank folks for coming out and for the district and all that for doing it. Thanks a lot.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Jack McCurdy. I'm a Morro Bay resident. There's just one thing I wanted to underscore. That is, for those of you who haven't been following this as closely as I and Alex and Barry and some of the others, there's a lot of new information here, amazingly so. For example, we've been told at the JPA meetings and in the agendas that there were going to be 10 or 11 sites considered. I forget the number. It's the ones that were proposed by the surf riders. And then that would be boiled down to 3 sites, one of which would have been the site that the Morro Bay and Cayucas proposed to the Coastal Commission. That's not what DUDAC's looking at. DUDAC is looking at an unlimited number of sites. Those surf riders, plus others that are going to be proposed through this process. And then it will be boiled down to an undetermined number. It might be 3, 4, 5. It depends on DUDAC's professional evaluation. So there's a lot of new things. So if you've been kind of watching this out of the corner of your eye, don't think that it's the same old stuff because it's a lot of new things. One of the things I think that needs to be done, and I attribute this to Barry Brannon, there has to be at some point an economic analysis of this whole project. And I don't know, I didn't get a chance to look at that very carefully on the work plan. But by economic analysis, I mean that if you read the Coastal Commission staff report in December, you will see that it just really underscored the need to develop the maximum amount of tertiary recycled water. And they point out, and it's not as if they're watching out for the city of Morro Bay's economic future, but they point out that in order to replenish the aquifers, we could begin to have gain our water from those wells, and we would be able potentially, well, certainly to cut back and maybe even relinquish our reliance on state water, which if any of you have followed, well, it is more much more expensive, but if any of you follow state water, it's going to disappear one of these days in terms of some of the cities, some of the users. And the last thing I want to point out is that this work plan is extremely valuable for any of us who are following the issue.
Because, gee, we know how it runs and we're comfortable with it. But the truth of the matter is that I've seen in the Los Osos time lots of people from like NRDC come in and give us all kinds of models of new plants, new technology that we can buy and we can have. I don't even care if it costs more than what they're building, if it's going to long-term be better for everybody. And that's what we should be going for. I mean, why are we building old technology with new money? It just doesn't make any sense at all. And I'm sorry, the deck is stacked out here. The people that are working on this plant have vested interest in the plant, building that plant. They don't want to listen to the people. I've been coming out for years asking for different kinds of technology. We don't get heard. These people know what they're building. They're comfortable with it. But I want something different. I want to see people in here giving us stuff that we can look at. Use PERC, for instance. Show me the argument against PERC. I mean, talk to Santa Paula, talk to Fillmore. There's two great examples. One has what we're going to build, and one has something we're not going to build. And I don't know that PERC's the Pandora. I don't know that that's the best plan out there. I think we need to look and get some people to come in here and actually have it open so that people aren't afraid to come in here. I mean, PERC did a whole lot of work for nothing, and the city doesn't want to sign an agreement not to divulge what they are reading. I think it's kind of unfair to a company. And if you treat companies badly or poorly, they're not going to come here. They don't have to come here and build. Sounds like a great thing that, you know, you're going to make millions of dollars, but somebody else is buying this technology anyway. There's only so many people building it. So let's be a friendly community and go out there and really find out what is available. I don't think anybody in this room can tell us what the best technology today is. You know, it's debatable, and it depends where we're going to put it. But the way we're heading, we're spending millions of dollars on this water treatment plant as opposed to looking at other ones before we start spending our money. Why would we spend money on consultants that their reports are just going to go unused if you change your mind? So let's think future. I agree with Susan Mullins totally. It should power itself, and it should give us really clean water, minimum standard. Thank you.
My name's Betty Winholtz. I'm from Morro Bay. Could I just, for my own edification, raise your hand if you're from Cayucas? Okay, thanks. Cool. Welcome. My concerns are kind of where we go from here. I agree with everything that's been said so far, particularly about process. I'd like to know, and I guess I'm asking the question, I hope you'll respond later, how do we get to that fine screening? Do we get to have input? I don't know that we know what criteria you want to use, or you've suggested, or we've suggested some, but how does that get prioritized? You know, how do we know whether being off the beach is more important than having, you know, being near a farm where you can recycle it? I don't know how that's going to happen, and my fear is that that's going to be settled by staff or by the consultants, and the people aren't going to get to say, this is what's important to us. And I think you were trying to do that tonight, but I don't know how that worked, and I didn't see that happening. So that's my concern, is who gets to decide and how that ranking happens. I wholeheartedly agree that we need to have an extended period of comment time. I agree that it's been just way too short, and I look forward to tomorrow's workshop.
Hello, I'm Russ Faraday. I'm a Morro Bay resident. Difficult to follow, Betty. I agree with many of the comments that have been made so far. It's very interesting. I'm really glad this is happening tonight. And it seems that the process is not clear to many of us, and I would say that that would be the very, very first thing that we need to look at. Decisions will be made. By whom will those decisions be made? Empowering, a bunch of consultants to go out and make decisions on our behalf, I think could be a very dangerous thing. So, in general, I think if we can get together and establish criteria to suit our needs in our communities, or a large part of it, ourselves, and actually take some of that income that's going to Santa Barbara or San Diego and be spending it on people in our communities. This is the approach that's done in island communities like on Maui, for instance, in Hawaii. And it's very important in communities like that to keep the money in the economy. We have the same needs to keep the money in the economy here. Tourism isn't doing terribly well. Fishing isn't doing terribly well. Hundreds of thousands, millions going elsewhere doesn't make sense. Let's keep that money here. Let's spend the money here. If we need to develop expertise, we can do that too. It's not a problem. We should open source this. We should do the thinking. We should do the deciding. We can take recommendations from experts, but we can maintain the power over this project, and that's what we need to do. Simple as that. Another topic. Week before last, there was a very important meeting in Oxford with many ocean scientists revealing that the state of the oceans is devastating at the moment. And this is intimately tied up with climate change. We need to think very carefully about what we do on this very long-term project and whether we can even allow ourselves to budget the magnitude of project that we have done in the past. I'm not sure that we can. We need to be very careful, and we need to think very hard about this. We all need to be involved. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Al Barrow, Los Osos. I share the bay with you all, and I really don't like getting blamed for the sewage going into the bay leaking from these collection lines here that are 50-year-old, documented at least 350 cracks that leak every day into the groundwater and the bay. I appreciate what you're doing and how you're going about it. And the last speakers made it very clear that you should keep the reins of decision making. That's very good. I've had 16,000 hours of public meetings on wastewater collection, treatment, disposal, talked with many engineers. And I just wanted to share briefly with you that if you want to do a generational project, you're going to need to look at getting your collection system in order, because it's old and out of date, and it's going to be very expensive to fix the gravity. So I would suggest that you consider a step stag system, because you have the gravity power from the hill. All the effluent can run down from septic systems that are put in the streets or the right of way, and you'll reduce your biological oxygen demand. You'll reduce your solids by 80%, so you won't have to find a landfill to send them. That's a benefit. Energy, save a lot of energy. You'll save a lot of investment. A directional drilling of a collection system like that would be far cheaper than replacing your system. So if you look at the holistic point of view, it was pointed out that we don't have a lot of technology on the table yet. And I think that should be the very next step for the consultant Dudex, to give all the available technologies available and put it out there for you all to look at. And I think you're doing a great job as citizens, and I want to salute you.
Good evening. Barry Brannon from Morro Bay. I just have to say thank you all. It's been a long battle for many people trying to get the attention. It's kind of like that mule. He's got to use a big 2x4. I think we have a pretty good size 2x4 here tonight, and I really appreciate each one of you citizens looking at it, thinking about it. Tell your neighbors. Have some meetings. I think if we get a little more time, we can sharpen the arrow and we'll have a good project. But up until now, we feel like we've been spinning our wheels, and finally I think we got some traction. Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Bob Snyder. I've lived in coastal areas for most of my life, the last 44 years in California and the last 10 here in Cayucas. I want to thank everybody that's spoken. Many of you have done a lot of research. Your comments are well-founded. All of the staff that have contributed have contributed a lot. I think in any project, the is one from Theodore Roosevelt. He said, do what you can with what you have where you are. I suggest we figure out what cost we can afford and get on with it. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Dana Putnam, and I'm a Morro Bay resident. I'm just going to make a couple comments. One thing I want to say is that we've heard about existing location, and I've followed this for a while. And I guess I just want to say that once we got into the issue of the 100-year floodplain, we were looking at a new project. And unfortunately, there had been a lot of work and a lot of money put into it before that. But as soon as we're looking at that, it's a new location. So the existing location isn't possible anymore. Even if we go next to the existing location, everything changes. You have to set up a foundation there. You have to deal with the sand. You have to build up a location, an island, to build the plant on in that location. We haven't heard much about that. I've heard some of that from an engineer. And the other thing I'd like to say is that in terms of looking at alternatives, I just suggest doing it in maybe a practical way where we consider some things like where the existing pipes are. We have pipes running from here to Cayucas. There's land between here and Cayucas that is off of the coast that's elevated. There are possibilities we can look at. Land is cheap now relative to what it's been in the past few years. There are people who own land that may be interested in making a deal that benefits them, benefits us, and also benefits agriculture and our watershed. So those are just a couple comments that I would suggest that we might take a look at. Thank you.
Lee Johnson, Morro Bay resident. I just have to touch on something that came up tonight, and that's the subject of cost. And we've looked at the numbers, we've gone through it. It can be done, $2 to $3 per month, per resident, per bill, to move the plant to an acceptable place that protects us in the long term. When you think about cost with a project like this, you have to think about the downside and the true downside. If that plant gets wiped out by tsunami, flood, earthquake, we are done for 2, 3, 4 years potentially. Everything we have is useless. That's the true cost of not doing the right thing. I thought I'd mention.
I'm Melody DeMeritt, former city council member from 2004 to 2008. I just preface my remarks so that you know that I know what I'm talking about a little bit, at least. When I got off council, I tried to exit all these controversies, but Betty keeps at me. So now the thing I'm wondering is why staff never did the right thing in the first place, why we didn't send a draft EIR that did the typical things of an EIR, which is to look at alternatives, which is to follow your local coastal plan. Staff on both sides, Cayucas and Morro Bay, why did that not happen? Why did it not happen right the first time? Because it didn't. We are paying more as residents. Now I'm a resident, regular resident. 5% increase every January in Morro Bay. 5% increase gets bigger every year, and it's endless. When they voted it in, I voted against that increase. Betty did too. When they voted it in, they made it endless. Every time they hire a consultant, it means that not just me, but the fourth or fifth property owner of my property in Morro Bay will be paying those endless increases to the sewer rate. It's insane. I want to know why we got a 21-page comment back from the Coastal Commission in December, and it's taken us now till nearly July to have this discussion. What is wrong with these high-paid consultants and the city council that we couldn't have had this discussion and a response to Coastal about alternatives long ago, or have started it long ago so that you all are not watch my language, aced out of an opportunity to comment, and it all closes down by Friday. If they'd gotten their act together, their high-paid act together, I mean, it's ridiculous that it's happening now on Monday, closing on Friday. Do you understand? And you pay 5% increase every January, and that 5% is bigger every January. The other thing, and it's the last thing, when I was on council, speaking with the sanitary district in these JPA meetings, the one thing that everybody wants to avoid in these discussions is who's going to pay for what and how much. There's a joint powers agreement.
How can we make this plant generate revenue? Nothing was said. Can we sell the water? Can we sell the sludge? In the Midwest, there's thousands of tons of sludge that get sold to farmers. I haven't heard anything here tonight that we're going to do that. These are things that should be looked at because, you know, we can't always bear the cost of everything. So why can't we make this generate a little revenue and ease the pain on us a little bit? Thank you.
Michael Lucas, and I'm tall. Three things I just wanted to point out. First is, I totally agree about cost. We shouldn't be looking at anything except a life cycle cost on this. The idea that we would have a facility of this scope that wouldn't be studied at a 30 to 50 year window is unbelievable. I think the other thing that's fascinating about this process, which I've had quite a bit of time to take a look at, is that since its beginning, there's a whole new form, new field of study you could study at Cal Poly. There's a field called landscape urbanism that looks at nothing but infrastructures working together in terms of park systems and ecology. And our science that we have since this project even began is such that we're held hostage in so many ways right now. We're held hostage to a federal ocean outfall policy. We're held hostage to a state water source that we tap. We're held hostage to all sorts of new emerging scientific understandings of the way our tides and our flooding works. If you've built a house or a project recently, you understand that even our stormwater management has radically changed within the last 10 years and in terms of our own rules and regulations on property. It's had a huge impact. So I completely agree. It's all about the cost. But if we only look at a small window of construction cost, we're really shortchanging all of us here and our children and the future of Morro Bay. We have to look at life cycle costs in terms of construction, operating costs, collateral costs. We should be looking at ways to generate jobs and income with this facility. We should be looking at something that goes far beyond dumping clean water into the ocean. Thanks.
We have time for one more speaker. Is there anyone else? Wow, look at that. It's almost like we timed it that way. Perfect timing. I would like to thank everyone for coming out tonight. I would like to thank you for visiting the tables. I would like to thank you for all of your thoughtful comments, and especially thank you for your courtesy. Everyone here has taken notes. The meeting's recorded, and we're certainly going to fully consider all of the comments that people made tonight. I see that Rob has something to say as we part. One other thing, Bruce Kehoe, the wastewater division manager, always uses opportunities like this to make sure that people know that they're invited to tour the wastewater treatment plant. And if you call him at 772-6272, he would really appreciate the opportunity to show you or classes or individuals the treatment plant. Rob?
I'm not quite so tall. Just want to thank you for everybody's comments, and we heard you about the comment time
Friday is 2020 hindsight is not a realistic deadline, and we'd like to extend that deadline to the 15th of July. It was an extra 2 weeks beyond the original deadline, and we can still make the reporting requirements that we need to make. Again, thank you, everybody, for commenting, for coming, for participating in this process, and see you here tomorrow at 11 a.m. To do this all over again.